If you could, please stand in reading of the Word of God. I want to give honor to Brother and Sister Brownies for letting me here, being here with the church, with them, with each and every one of you. I still see lots of familiar faces. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And also good to see new faces. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you have the Bible, let us turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 to 32. Okay, you heard this all the time. Preacher quote about it. People talk about it. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, all right, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Amen. What a comfort. What a comfort when we hear, when we know that God will say, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Amen? Amen. Amen. In today's world, we need to hear comfort words like this all the time. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." I love Apostle Peter. This guy, he's very bold. He just opened his mouth. He just speak it out. All right? Can you imagine that he said, "Okay, you know, bid me come unto thee on the water." It's just like, "Jesus, invite me and I will walk on the water." You know, not many people would do that, right? But Apostle Peter just, he's something, you know. Amen. Praise God. And verse 29, and he said, "Come." Whoa. Now this is serious now. He is asking me to come. Oh, no. How can I walk on the water? He didn't know what he asking for, right? Jesus bid me to come. And Jesus said, "Come." And now all of a sudden, he goes, whoa. It hit him and said, I should have kept quiet, all right? Oh, amen. Praise God. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And Peter literally walked on the water. Wow. Amen. Amen. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sing, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me. Save me." Apostle Peter turned his attention away from that. All right. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didn't thou doubt?" All right? And when they would come into the ship, the wind ceased. Praise God. Hallelujah. Even the wind listened to Jesus. Hallelujah. The element out there listened to Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. And tonight I want to talk to you about a subject of simply believe. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Let us all bow our head. Dear Lord and Savior God, we thank you, God, that we can come together on the Tuesday night in this sanctuary, oh God. Lord, and we ask you, let your Holy Ghost be with us, oh God. Lord, let your anointing to be upon this place, the people here, oh God. Let your anointing be upon my lips, oh God, as I bring forth the words, praise God. Jesus, that we will never fail to give you the glory and the honor. Everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Amen. Praise God. Now, the Bible tells us that the Apostle Peter actually walked on the water for a few brief seconds. Amen. Amen. I don't know how's the feeling like just to walk a few steps, a few seconds on the water, and yet you are not sinking. I think that feeling was really, really good. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But when he began to doubt, he began to sink. Amen? And just like Jesus warned, you know, in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 23, when you ask, do not doubt in our heart, and you shall receive what you ask for. Amen. Praise God. This last Thursday, we have a very faithful saint, Sister Amy Wang. She's about 69 years old. The Lord took her home. Okay? And this lady has such a simple, simple faith. All right? Know her for many years. She traveled all over the world building churches and reaching out to people. All right? And in 1980, she was traveling, and then she was Buddhist. She wasn't a Christian at all. And she was doing business, import and export, and flying on the way to South America to meet her clients. That signed contract and on the import and export. But on the same time, she sidelined prostituting. All right, she's a Chinese lady, and her family were very, very poor. The only way for her to make a little bit more money so that she could help the family, because she has five other siblings on there, and she's the oldest of the family. And mom and dad could not make very much, just a little bit. That's why she has to do that. So on her sideline, she was prostituting. At the same time, she was doing business. And she was traveling back and forth to South America. And she got pregnant. And she was still traveling. And she was traveling the last time. And she was probably about 7 months. And she was flying on the way to Panama to meet a customer, and up in the air, the plane was flying, she went into labor. So the pilot had to stop the plane in Los Angeles. The ambulance came, took her, and then the plane took off again on their way. So she was taken to the hospital, and they wheeled her into the emergency, and the doctor looked down and said, ma'am, we don't know what to tell you. It's a very serious condition. Your baby is not going to survive. If you want your baby to survive, you might lose your life. We only can save one life. So Sister Amy looked up at the doctor and said, doctor, no, I want my baby and myself to live. And the doctor looked down on her and said, lady, we need to pray. So that was a Christian doctor. And the doctor prayed for her and did the operation. And the next thing she knew, the baby was okay, and she was okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And she would stay for a few more days. The next thing she knew, and she was discharged from the hospital in L.A. She has no family over there. The child was born in the United States, became an American citizen, but she didn't have any paper. And when they took her off from the plane, she didn't even took her bag, and she didn't even have the passport. So she was literally has no paperwork. She didn't know where her bag went to with this airline. So she didn't know what to do. So she ended up in L.A. Skid Row, homeless, 7 block. Today there are about 14,000 homeless people there. So she ended up with a group of people over there and with a little baby carrying with a little bag just aimlessly walking on the street of L.A. and hoping that somebody will give her some food. And she came from a Buddhist family. She said, God, how come my life ended up this way? Say, God, she was talking, referring to Buddha. How come? And it went on for several days, and then a couple came, a Christian couple came, and began to share the word of God with her about Jesus. And she listened to this lady talking about Jesus, and then she began to pray. She says, Jesus, if you are real, show me, help me. And she was crying. She was literally desperate. The little baby has no diaper and no milk, and she was just aimlessly walking way back then in the early 80s. And she was praying and praying, asking Jesus to help. The little baby pacifier dropped on the floor. So she bent down and picked up the pacifier. But in the meantime, she saw the piece of paper that was rolled out. She picked up the piece of paper, clean the pacifier, and give it to the baby. So after giving the pacifier to the baby, she unrolled a piece of paper. It was US $100. And this time she said, wow, Jesus, you have answered my prayer. So she thought, whoa, now I could go buy milk powder, diaper, and something for myself to eat. Well, she was thinking of that. The word came to her, said, daughter, take the $100, see the hot dog stand there, the vandals, go and order 100 hot dogs and feed the homeless people. And she said, God, I just pick up the $100, I have no money, have not eaten my baby and no diaper. And God said, do that. And she took the money. She walked to the vandals, the hot dog vandals, and walked to him and said, I want 100 hot dogs. And the vandals look at her, are you crazy? How you can eat 100 hot dogs? Because she has been in their vicinity, homeless. The vandals know that. And she began to tell him the whole incident. Say, I was praying to Jesus. I have nothing. My son pacifier drop. I pick up this $100. And God told me to buy 100 hot dogs and feed all the homeless people. So the vendor said, oh, okay. He make 100 hot dogs, took $100 and feed and give it to all the homeless people and feed them. At the end of the day, the vendors came out to her and said, ma'am, I don't understand, but I want to give you back the $100. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Simply believe. Just simply believe. Amen. Amen. So now she got back her $100. Now her faith increased. She said, whoa, God, you are a good God. I paid $100, I obey you, now I get back again. Whoa, what kind of a system is this? So she liked it. All right, so she has the $100 back, and she started to get the baby and food, and she went, she found a church building in L.A., and she began to settle down with her son, sleep there in the night, better than the skid row, and sleep there. And every morning the pastor would come to the church and open the door and look at a young baby and a lady and invite the Sister Amy, say, why don't you come in, clean up your baby, clean up yourself, and then you go. So she thought, wow, this man is very kind. And let her and ever since, every morning the preacher let her in and clean the baby. After a little while, the pastor has been observing her and came out to Sister Amy, say, would you like to do a little bit of work? If you could clean the church, and I will pay you. Because seeing her and a young lady and a young child, and she said, okay, I'll clean the church. So she started coming in to clean the church, and the preacher observed her. She was pretty good, very diligent cleaning, and began to start talking to her and giving her Bible study. And she received the Holy Ghost and got baptized. Praise God. Amen. And it is one of our church in L.A., Brother Bernard Elms, Brother Elms in Los Angeles. And she started in there, and Brother Elms began to discipling her, and she will make the little money cleaning the church, and she will go buy canned food, and she will cook, and every day she will bring two little pots to the homeless place, and she will feed the homeless people. Until it's empty, she will come home. And she was doing that for 8 years, doing that faithfully every day. Whatever she gets, she will cook. Whatever she can get food extra, she will cook and make something nice for the homeless people. 8 years later, she talked to God. She said, God, you have placed that burden for the homeless people in me for the last 8 years. God, I've been doing this faithfully every day, but I need a place here in Skid Row that I wanted to buy so that I can open up and feed the homeless people 200-300 every day. So while she was praying, there was a unit in Skid Row opened out. There was two lots that opened out, big humongous warehouse, but it was going for $580,000. But that lady didn't have the money. And she was praying and believing, and she was praying. And one morning, God spoke to her, said, daughter, go over to this street, go over to this house, and you tell the owner of this house that my treasure is in your house. You don't do that. So she said, God, is that you? Yeah, go ahead to the house. She drove over there, went to the house. An elderly man came out, opened the door. Can I help you? And she looked at the man. She said, sir, my God told me that my treasure is in your house. No, no, what did you say? My God told me that my treasure is in your house. It's in your right-hand side of your study table on the second drawer inside the box. The man, all of a sudden, the man said, whoa! The man said, please come in. Why? Because this man, he's a multimillionaire, and he came to the Lord, and he make a pledge to the Lord. $580,000. He wrote it on a piece of paper, put it in the box on his study table on the right-hand side, second drawer. So this elderly man invited her, said, this is very coincident, curious. Come on in, sit down. What you want to eat breakfast? And said, lady, tell me a little bit more about your discard. So she started telling this man, say, God has placed me in the homeless ministry for 8 years. I've been feeding them every day, but I need a place so that I can make it as a homeless shelter to feed the people. And while she was talking, this man began to cry. This man pledged the $580,000, said, God, if it's the time that is right, you send the right person. This is the money that I'm going to pledge and to give it to you to use in the kingdom. The man wrote a check of $580,000. And she bought the place. She used the place to feed the homeless people in Skid Row. Every day she feed 250 to 300 people every day. Her cost to run the homeless place cost her $15,000 every month. And God provide every penny every month. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When she took possession of the unit, all right, 6 years later, the businessman came out to her and offered her to buy over the place. You know what was the offer? $6 million. She looked at the man. She said, sir, I am not selling. This is God's house. I am not selling. So the man, no choice, went away. A year and a half later, the same man came up to her again. Ma'am, we need to buy you this place because we have development here. But we're going to offer to you now $11 million. She said, this is the Lord's house. It's for feeding the homeless people. Church, I want to let you know, simply believe. Simply believe. Amen. Amen. If we can tune in God's voice and simply believe, then we can see miracle all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God has used this lady, Sister Amy, could not read, could not write, only can speak broken English. If you talk to her in English, sometimes you don't even know what she's talking about. She spoke, but she most of the time speaks Chinese. Praise God. Hallelujah. And she has been involved building churches from Taiwan to Brazil to China. And she built churches, Bible school, and preached the word of God, and baptized and prayed people through Holy Ghost by the thousands. Praise God. But the Lord took her home at the age of 69 years old. We don't understand, but God has the reason there. Amen. Praise God. And she has been diligently working, even at 68, when she was tired, when she was not feeling well, she was still traveling to preach the word of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So simply believe. Amen. The Apostle Peter simply believed. When the Lord said, come, Apostle Peter simply believed and took the first step and walked out of the boat onto the water. Amen. 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 Praise God. And tonight I'm speaking to somebody here in this congregation. Maybe there are situations that you are going through. We all don't understand, but God saw the whole picture. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, simply believe. It is not because that your prayer is not answered that God neglected you. No. There is a time, there is a right timing. But God wants to see how much faith you have. If we only could just simply believe. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I traveled with her all over China when we went different places, doing different conferences and all that. And there's one time, and this time I wasn't with her, and she was traveling into one of the outskirts city. She was preaching the word of God, and the crowd was getting thicker and thicker, and more people start coming to the conference. And the next thing she knew, on the second day, and police cops start coming and raided the place where we are having services. Now in China, most of you heard that what my ministry in China, when you preach the word of God, when they caught you preaching the word, the evidence, they're going to sentence you 2 years hard labor, all right? And it is still happening right here today. And maybe some of you have read some of the news. For the last 18 months, they have went over to some of the churches. The three-cell church, that means the government church, over in China, and they allowed them to build. It's controlled by the religious council of China. They allowed them to build. The pastor is the communist pastor, and allowed them to do. But 18 months ago till now, they went to every of these churches and destroyed the cross. Some of the buildings, the humongous, they put out a cross. They went over there to pull the cross down. So this is what is happening now. The last 18 months, the persecution is very, very great. So and still very, very strong. But Sister Amy at this time was traveling and preaching, and the crowd was getting thicker. And the next thing she knew, the police were coming to pick her up. So she saw the police, so she was running away. She ran, and there was another sister with her. The boy then started running. They run, and now you have to understand, she's a little petite short, but she's a little bit big. So she started running, and the police was chasing. Said, "Lady, lady, don't run. Stop there." So she ran and ran, and all of a sudden, God spoke to her. Said, "Why are you running? You were just talking about faith. You were just preaching about faith. Why are you running?" So she stopped. When she stopped, she said, "Oh, yeah, I was just teaching about faith. And why am I running?" While she stopped, the two policemen were just almost close to her, were just behind her. And she turned around and lay hand on the two policemen. When the two policemen came, she lay hand on the two policemen. And the two policemen knelt down and began to cry and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. And she prayed for the two policemen with the two hands like this. And the two policemen began to cry, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When they were done, the policemen looked out on her and said, "Lady, you go. We are not going to pick you up. Go ahead. You just go your way." Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It is exciting to know that when we put our trust in God. Amen. I've been doing the ministry since 1992 until now. And God has never failed me. Amen. Yes, I do go through some of the things that God allowed me to go through so that I could understand. Amen. We all go through that. Amen. But the Lord allowed me to go through that, allowed my family to go through that, to see some of the things that God can show us so that my faith can increase. Amen. Praise God. I'm still human. Amen. I'm just a mouthpiece that allowed God to use to speak. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like you. When you take a knife and cut me, I can feel the pain. Amen. And blood was shed. Amen. Praise God. But I'm willing to let God use me. Trusting Him. In any situation. It doesn't matter good or bad situation. Trust Him. Amen. If only we can learn how to put the trust in Him, then we can see the miracle of God. But if, praise God, if it's a little bit here and there, we started to wave and then we turn and walk away from God, then we miss the miracle. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Since 92, I'm still preaching the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And thank God that this church pastor allowed me to come and share the word of God with you. Hallelujah. I've been here the last 2 weeks already. I've been traveling from churches to churches. I went over to Chicago. Praise God. South Chicago. I just got back Monday. Went there on Friday. Came back on Monday. South Chicago. Never been there. Went over there and my eyes were so big. Whoa! But they still need God. Amen. They still need God. Praise God. We still need to bring the word of God to them. Amen. It doesn't matter. If we can do that, you hear testimony after testimony, brother and sister Gonzalez, they're right there ministering in South Chicago, and God spoke to Sister Gonzalez. And say, went over, she was driving up and down, say, went over and give your car key to the two men over there. She has no idea who is the two men. These two men are the head of the gang in the area. The moment you get up, they pick you up, they kill you. This is what they told me. It is scary. We were just driving. We didn't stop anything. We just drive through and see some of the places. And God spoke to Sister Gonzalez, said, go over there and take this key, give it to the two men over there. She got up, she walked over, and the two men said, whoa, this white lady is coming. Who is she? And she walked over there. She said, God told me to give you this key for the car over there. So one of the men recognized her. Say, aren't you the preacher's wife that has been going around here teaching Bible study? Yes, sir. But God told me to give you the key. And that chief of the gang heard that and said, wow. Wow, God spoke to you and you were so daring by yourself, lady, alone, and you walk over here. It must be God. And the chief of the gang sit down and willing to see what she has to say. And she started teaching Bible study to the chief of the gang. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he got baptized, got the Holy Ghost, came to the Lord. Amen. And came to the church and worked full time. And now they are reaching at one part of the South Chicago, the area. And the church was just growing and growing. And Brother and Sister Gonzalez have to have four services every Sunday in four different locations. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I was like, whoa. Amen. God is still working. God is still working. Doesn't matter, Chicago, Milwaukee, China. Amen. He is still working. Only if we can listen to his voice. Amen. And sometimes we just been so busy thinking that, okay, we need to go and work. Of course, yes, we need to work. We go about. But sometimes we need to take a little pause and stop and say, Lord, here I am, what you have for me. Amen. Praise God. Because if we are go, 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 we miss that. Amen. You can go, 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 once in a while, stop down. And say, pray and say, God, what you have for me today, who I can reach out to and speak to, who I can share my testimony with. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just take a few seconds to pause and slow down and do that. You will find that the miracle that God is going to use you to reach out to the people over there. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And is this okay? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. One time I was in Beijing preaching, me and another brother, and we were preaching on it, and he's a local over there. I'm the foreign. That means people were not born in China. I'm a foreigner, even though I'm Chinese. They call you foreigner because you don't born there. And I was preaching, and there was 3 days, and it was an old nightclub that went bankrupt, but they have a big dancing hall, big open spot. So the preacher in the area invited 300 people over there. So I was there for 3 days and three nights, teach and preach. 9 hours a day for the next 3 days, 27 hours. And just by myself and with a partner who would just kind of stand in when I'm tired. And I was doing that the first day, doing that. And I told the congregation, I said, okay, we're going to have a 12 o'clock break to have lunch. And several grandmas in the kitchen were cooking lunch so that people don't have to go out and eat and cause too much distraction, and neighbors start complaining, the police start coming, all right? So I said, 12 o'clock, we're going to have a break, and then we're going to resume back at 1 o'clock. 1 hour rest. Everybody eat, 300 of them, and then we resume back again. So I went on to teach and teach, and then I got carried away as usual, and then it went on. It passed 12 o'clock. It was 12:20. So I realized that, oh, it's 12:20. It's just impossible for them to eat in half an hour. So I say, okay, y'all went, go ahead and eat, and then we're going to resume back at 2 o'clock. So, okay, everybody went. So they finished eating. Some of them lay down and take a nap and all that stuff. And I was just resting a little bit, and people were sleeping. And then I looked at my time. It was 1:56. So I woke all the pastors, all the leaders up. I said, okay, we're going to start in a few minutes. It's 1:56 now. So you get up, wash your face, and get everybody. I'm going to start 2 o'clock. That was 1:56. And they got up, and 2 minutes later, at 1:58, a truckload of police came and bashed into that old dancing hall over there. And look at it, and my Lord, there were so many people up in this place. And they walk in right away. They say, who is in charge over here? And I was there with the organizer and some of the leaders over there. And the police chief looked at me and give me that nasty look. Like, you're going to be the next one I need to talk to, you know. And I realized that I didn't even say anything. And this brother said, I'm in charge. So when the police chief went over there, I just quietly, like nothing happened, turned and walk away and went upstairs. I just trying to get away from that and let the local people handle the situation. We were trained to do that. So, and he would start talking, the police chief integrating why there's so many people here. So I walk up there on the second floor, and I go up there. There were several leaders there. They were discussing what to do. Should they let me go? What are they going to do? Should I stay? Because the police are going to interrogate everybody. So up there, the several leaders, they discuss. They say, okay, you go. You better go because you are not holding the Chinese passport. I hold a Singaporean passport. So I say, okay, I'll go. Just tell me where I should go. I say, okay, walk out this door. As you go down, there's a kitchen at the bottom. And then from the kitchen, you walk out to the alley, and then you just walk out. Don't turn your head. Just keep walking out. I say, okay, I just believe them and walk. So I went out to the kitchen, saw two grandma there, still cleaning vegetable, getting ready to cook for supper. And I walked down, and I know that it's coming out to the alley and a little bit bright as I was walking towards there. And I walk out and go into the alley, and I look up. There was police all over surrounding the whole place, the whole compound. I said, oh, no. And I didn't lock eyes with them. I knew this policeman over there, so I didn't know what to do, but I could not stop. I pray. I said, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. So I continue walking very slowly. I continue walking. And I cannot stop because if I stop and walk away, they will call me because they were stopping everybody. So I continue walking. I said, Jesus, help me. And suddenly something asked me, bend down and pick up all the garbage. So I just said, okay. So I start picking garbage and put it on my arm and pick all the bottles, papers, and I pick. And I knew I could see. I didn't look at the policeman, but I could see that they were looking at me. I paid. I came back. I looked for a dustbin and went and emptied all the garbage. And I continued to walk. For example, over there is the main door. It is quite a long distance. There's a gate there. So I walked past the policeman. I still picking garbage, picking. And just kind of picking around them, and then go back to the bin and empty it again. Second time. So the third time I walked, they were kind of watching me, but they probably thought that I'm a cleaner. So I walk over to the gate there, picking and picking until the gate. I kind of unlock the gate, you know, a little bit,
pull out and pick up. And I came back again and empty it. So they thought that this is the cleaner. So I went back on the fourth time to the gate and pick up the garbage. I went, and in China, there's this big gate, humongous, and there's two big pillars. So I walked. The moment I turned the pillar, they could not see me. I ran so fast, faster than Carl Lewis. I was running so fast, and they probably thought, where is this cleaner? He all of a sudden, he disappeared. Oh, hallelujah. I left the place. While I was doing that, almost 300 people up there looking down, and they were shaking their heads and, no, he's done. They surely stop him. But 300 of them looked down, and everyone was shocked. And I was walking in and out. No policemen were actually paying attention. And they saw the moment when I walk out, I turn and never come back. They say, wow, this preacher will literally walk right in front of the police nose, and he just walk out. And everyone thinking that, whoa, this is God. And because of that, that very conference, I baptized 150-something people over there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We don't understand. I didn't understand. I was put in a place when I walk out on the alley, when I saw the policeman, I thought, oh, no. But I said, God, help me. Help me. And I just act according to the Holy Ghost, what you want me to do. So I just went out picking the garbage. Whoever thought that bending down and picking garbage, right? So I just obeyed the Holy Ghost, just pick that. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes silly things like this. Uh-huh. Sometimes we're trying to argue with God. God, why this? Picking garbage, dirty your shirt, dirty your hand. Why, God? But it's silly, right? It's silly. But God allowed that to happen so that our faith can increase. By me doing that, they're up there watching, and these people are saying, like, my Lord, how can all the policemen standing around could not see this man? This man is not small. I'm not small. For Chinese, I'm tall and big. And most Chinese are short and petite, right? But this Chinese man is not small. Praise God. But they watch down, they look down and say, that must be God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Simply believe. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I am building your faith tonight here in this sanctuary. All right, and God has a special blessing for some of you that very soon that you're going to receive that. Whether big or small, it is a blessing. Amen. If it's a small blessing, praise God and thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. If it's a big blessing, thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And the amazing things here, that straight away Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Because at that very moment, every one of them were panicked, all right? And God began to comfort them, and he said, it is I, be not afraid. What a comfort to hear that we are in a terrible, terrible situation, that we can hear voices that tell us, say, be not afraid. How comfort is that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And today's situation, there's so many situations happen. You could hear from the radio, the news, and it's like every day there's something. Not only something, but so many things happen. And some of the things happen, they don't even on the news. All right? But praise God. But it's so comfort to know that God is still in our midst. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And last but not least, I'm going to share this with you. And maybe some of you have read this part of the story somewhere, maybe a long time ago. Have you heard about the Ten Boom family? Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you heard that. All right, the Corrie Ten Boom, Second World War. And she was the one that responsible for saving the Jews during the Second World War, where the soldiers were killing and picking up, even taking the babies on that. Corrie Ten Boom has a nephew called Peter Ten Boom. Peter Ten Boom was only 16 years old, all right? And his job is to take the baby on the little bicycle. Way back then, the bicycle has a little basket in the front, and he will smuggle the little baby crossing different checkpoints so that the German soldier were checking on that. So Peter's job is to conceal the baby and to escape and bring the baby across to the other side of the town, all right? But Peter Ten Boom was only 16 years old, and he was doing that. He was saving hundreds of babies to bring the Jewish baby across to the other side so that the Nazi soldiers would not discover them. So, and he was doing that, and Corrie Ten Boom were hiding some of the adult Jews in the home. You heard some of the miracles that the Nazi came. They could not even find them hiding behind the wardrobe. Amen. Praise God. So Peter was doing that and saving all these babies, and the second World War ended. Okay. And the Nazi surrendered, and Peter traveled abroad. And after probably about 40-something years later, when everything come down, all the European country all start building out and economy all better. And one day, Peter Ten Boom has to travel back for a meeting back to the country in Holland. And when he traveled back and having a meeting, during that meeting, he was struck with a heart attack. Peter Ten Boom. He was struck with a heart attack and he fell. Ambulance came and took him to the hospital. He has a massive, massive heart attack, and then went over to the hospital. They did a test on him and scanned everything, and finally they had to do an open heart surgery on him. And when the surgeon came into the room and picked up his file and looked down, it was Ten Boom. The last name. He walked in with his surgery gown and everything, and the nurses all prepared ready to do an open heart surgery. And the doctor, the chief surgeon, looked down, say, by the way, are you the Ten Boom families? And Peter looked out before they went into the surgery. He said, yes, I'm Peter Ten Boom. The doctor looked down on Peter Ten Boom and said, did you know that the baby that you saved, I was one of them? I was one of them that you saved my life. The hundreds of babies that you saved, I was one of them. And today you are laying down on the operating table here. I am performing the surgery on your open heart, on you. I'm one of those babies that you save. And the doctor did a surgery on Peter Ten Boom and saved his life. In return, in that situation where Peter had a heart attack, didn't know what to do, that's going to die, the baby that he saved, in return, saved him back. We don't understand that, church. We don't understand that. Peter, at the age of 16 years old, risked his life trying to save every baby across the border.
If he ever get caught, the Nazi soldiers are going to send him to a firing squad. But he never thought of that. His mind is to save those Jewish boys, Jewish baby, and save them, and save them. Hallelujah. But in return, when he was in such a difficult situation that Peter is going to die, the doctor who he saved as a little baby turned around and saved him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Simply believe. Simply believe. We don't understand that, but simply believe what God wants us to do and obey his word on that. Amen. My little princess, I call my little princess my daughter. She's 16. She go to Bible study every week, every Monday night. Monday night, she got Bible study. Tuesday night, she got choir practice. Wednesday night, we have service. Thursday night, we have youth service. And Friday night, they have a youth gathering. And Saturday, they have a youth outreach. Go out there and door knocking. And she's involved in all those stuff. And last night, she had a Bible study. And I was in the meeting teaching a class for Brother Tamil. For 35 people, and I got a text from her, and she said, "Dad, if a person got the Holy Ghost, can they also be demon possessed?" Praise God. I saw tonight, looked out there. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it was written on the multimedia up there. And we know that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that read to us and tell us over there. I'm going to read to you over here. It said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uppermost part of the earth." Praise God. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen, you have the power. So she was asking me the questions at the Bible study that you've having over there. So I text her back. I said, "Baby, I believe that when a person receives the Holy Ghost, that he's not going to have demon possessed. But, if the person has sins in their life, you receive the Holy Ghost, you go out there, you sins in your life, then you're opening the door for the demon to come in." Amen? Amen. Praise God. We are child of God. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God dwells in us. He is the Holy Ghost. That's why that Spirit is holy. God is a Spirit. Amen. We cannot see, but we can feel. All right? That's why they call it the Holy Ghost Spirit. Amen. Or the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I say, "Honey, but if the person starts sinning, all right, then the Holy Ghost is going to go away because God is holy. If you start doing that, then you realize that the Holy Ghost is not going to be in you." Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. So I told her that if the person sins in his or her life, that you are opening that door for the demon to come in. And she texts back. She said, "Dad, thank you so much. Praise God." So tonight, I want to let you know, hallelujah, amen, you have the Holy Ghost, all right? And if it's in your life, if you know there's something that is not pleasing to God, push that away. Don't do that. I mean, I was in the maximum security prison 4 times. Amen. I do all kinds of things. Long criminal records, drugs record. Praise God. But I learned something because He's the Holy God. If the Holy Ghost is going to dwell with me, then I'm going to try to live as clean as possible, as holy as possible, allow the Spirit of God to dwell in this body so that God can use me, allowing God to use me. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But sometimes when you see that, you know, why people talk about miracles after miracles, things happen, why, how come my life is always still the same? Do a little bit of searching on yourself. If things that is not pleasing to God, don't do it. And I can understand sometimes we did something wrong. But once we know it, we must always turn away from that. Amen? Yes. Amen. If we can do that, and God in heaven looks down on each and every one, He knows what's going on in us. If we do our level best to do that, and God is so pleasing, and He will come and help you. Not only that, He's going to come and use you and bless you. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So if tonight, for those of you who have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that means you have not speaking in tongues before, a language that you don't understand, all right? We want to invite you to come and pray that God fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. And for those of you that who need prayer, that you are sick in your body, come. We'll pray with you. Amen. Praise God. Let us all stand. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.